Welcome to Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our successful Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I'm Allison Kay. I'm a 30-year health and fitness veteran turned business strategist and retreat master. And every Thursday, we're talking about what it takes to create client experiences that actually matter. Because here's what I've noticed. Client experiences have become impersonal, transactional, digital only, and frankly, boring. There, I said it. But the truth is, a client experience is so much more than a transaction. It's about what goes into creating transformation, the strategy behind it, the intentionality, and the human connection. And that's what we're exploring on this show. Whether you're building retreats, hosting events, creating high-touch programs, or reimagining how you serve your clients, this is where we talk about how business owners can create different experiences within their businesses. Experiences that don't just serve clients, they transform them. So if you're ready to go beyond the same old automated funnels and cookie cutter approaches, you're in the right place. Let's dive in and get into the show. Hi, everybody. It's Allison Katzkowski. Thanks for joining me again today for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is the business edition of our Tuesday flagship show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. And today I'm back with part two of my latest mini series. So if you haven't listened, it's all about bridge offers in your business. So if you did not get it to listen to part one, I dropped that 2 weeks ago. That dropped on March the 12th. And I pretty much hit the ground running right out of the gate. I talked about how to frame the ecosystem in your business, what the next level of support should look like for your clients. I want you to think for a minute, if you're listening to this podcast, you're likely in the service industry in some regard. Maybe you're health, fitness, or wellness, or maybe you operate a brick and mortar with online, or maybe you're primarily online and you're a coach. But what we're seeing right now in how to develop a sustainable business model for the future means you have to have multiple ways for people to access you, right? And the reason for that is not that you need 10 offers, okay? But the reason for that is that people are going to come into your ecosystem from a number of different places. And I talked about this a lot in part one. So if you have not listened to that yet, please go back and check that out. That episode dropped on March the 12th. And so really what I want you to think about is, are your offers like strategically connected? And how do people move from one to the other in your business? So today, what I want to do is kind of sidebar from that a little bit. I don't necessarily need to repeat all that. But I want to go through some examples and explain why this works, because I know most people are visual learners, but I want you to imagine, I think if I give you examples, it's almost like giving analogies. I'm an analogy person. And if you give me an analogy to explain a relationship or to explain a concept or a situation, I usually understand it a lot faster and a lot better. So my hope is that this will actually help give you some spark, some creativity in you, and give you some ideas that maybe you can work on for the future. I'm talking about where people move easily and what makes that possible, okay? Because people don't automatically know where to go when they're working with you, right? And I think we sort of assume that when people finish at a certain place, whether you have a lead magnet or something at the beginning that attracts people, or whether you have a signature group program, or whether you just do one-on-one or retreats, you know, you're probably, I think we make the assumption that people know where to go, and they really don't sometimes. So I'm actually going to make the case today on why having both in-person and online when you're building this type of ecosystem in your business makes the most sense. It's why I call it the hybrid model and why it's my specialty. So here's where we left off quickly. A bridge offer is not a bigger version of your entry point or a smaller version of your big offer, right? So let that sink in for a minute. The entry point is what people do when they first sign up with you. Maybe it's a course, maybe it's an ebook, maybe it's a digital offer of some kind. It could be like a very low ticket something that you sell online when people are brand new to your world. I see a lot of coaches do this very, very well. But the bridge offer is different. It is literally the next layer of support, which is defined by where your client just finished to where your signature work begins, right? And for most of us that have been in business for any length of time, we probably have our main offer, the thing that we're known for, right? And for a lot of people, at least in my industry, when I worked in fitness full-time, it was always one-on-one coaching. That was your bread and butter. That was what got people in the door. That was what allowed you to get referrals. That was what allowed you to build a really successful book of business, which is what I did for close to 20 years when I owned both of my studios. But you have to think about a bridge offer a little different. It's not a watered-down version of what your main offer is. But at the same time, you're not trying to teach everybody everything that you know, okay? And I think a lot of coaches, particularly coaches who like to educate and like to share information, this is kind of a trap that we fall into. And then people get overwhelmed and they don't see the difference between doing something smaller or working with you in your signature offer, whatever that is. So think about your bridge offer as that gap in between, right? The gap is what determines the support, and the gap is what should determine the offer. So that's what I want you to be thinking about. That's the framework that I want you to be thinking about in your head, okay, as I go through these examples. I'm going to take you through four different business types. And so maybe one of these will resonate more with you. Maybe one is exactly how you do your business, or maybe none of them are. But my hope is that maybe this might get you thinking and get you thinking about what this could actually look like in your business, because this is actually one of the things that we help our clients do. So example number one is a fitness coach, okay? I was a fitness coach for a lot of years. That was all I did. I worked with people one-on-one. I taught a lot of group fitness classes. We had small group classes at my studios. I did home training. You know, I even did like workshops and, you know, wellness programming for companies too. I did that probably a lot more earlier in my career than I did toward the end of when I had my studios. But basically, the big problem, I think, that studio owners face, the ones that are doing one-on-one training, and there's still lots of people out there that this is really what they're doing and how they make their money, is that, you know, the problem is that not everybody is going to want one-on-one coaching. Not everybody has the budget. Not everybody can commit to it, right? And so if you're dependent on one-on-one clients to pay your bills, you're going to be churning and burning quite a bit in your schedule. So an example of an entry point here that works really well for a brick and mortar studio owner is what I call a 2-week jumpstart program. Or maybe it's like a small group of classes, 3 to 4 small group sessions, okay? And spread it out 2, maybe 3 weeks at the most. This could be movement-based. It could be a combination of movement and habit work. Because remember, when a lot of people are starting, you know, you really want to minimize the number of things that have to change right away. It's very hard for people to make changes, particularly changes that last long term. And so what you have to think about is that you want to minimize that barrier, okay, to making those changes work. So this is why combining movement with habits works really well. Like, for example, you know, I remember when I had my studios, a lot of my clients, one of their main objections to working out was that they couldn't really fit the time in. So one of the things that we worked on a lot was coming to see me once a week and working on movement challenges the rest of the week, and we would set up accountability. So that way it was easier because I wasn't trying to ask them to commit to a shit ton of time every week that they didn't have, but instead giving them the power to choose where that time went, right? Most of the time on a 2 to 3 week jumpstart, your main objective should always be showing people that they can do it, that it's not hard, that despite the fact that they're busy, they can still do this for themselves. So let's say the client finishes it, they feel better, they've got a little momentum, you've got them the win, right? Maybe they feel really good and they're really thinking, you know what, maybe I can actually do this. But here's the problem with that. Okay. And this is where most one-on-one coaches skip right to getting you into private coaching. Well, you know, you've been doing this for a little while. Let's add an extra session. Let's go ahead and move to 3 times a week, whatever that is. But here's the gap. The problem is that your client knows how to move. You're not teaching them something new. They know how to move. They've proven to themselves that they can show up and they can do it. So, but what they don't have is a standard to be held to. Okay. I think most people can start at the beginning and stick to it. Anyone can do anything for a short period of time, okay? This is why challenges work to get people excited, but they don't really do well to keep people going. But at the same time, people often want to feel like they're ready to take the next step. And when you stop with just the entry point, there's no way for people to progress to the next level. There's no way for people to challenge themselves more. And there's no one watching their consistency over time. Nobody's pushing them now that the novelty, so to speak, has worn off, right? I used to see this all the time in January. I don't really believe January is as big of a month in the fitness industry as it used to be. I think the online space has really changed that. I think there are more, way more options that are free, that are available to people than there ever have been. That's one of the silver linings that came out of the 2020 pandemic was that people figured out how to do things on their own and stick with it. And so I don't think that January is as big of a rush as what we used to see. I still think that it's a very busy time of year, right, for the health and fitness industry. The messaging works. It's a time of year when a lot of people are thinking about their health and fitness goals. And look, as a marketer, I can tell you, you want to strike while the iron is hot. You want to strike while what you do is front of mind for people. But having said that, the reason that an entry point alone isn't enough for people, especially people just starting out, okay, and the big box gyms are really bad about doing this. And to be honest, since it's been several years since I've taught group fitness inside a big gym, I'm not really aware of like new things that are going on inside of big gyms to convert people from, say, free passes and classes over to being members and doing small group training. I remember when I was teaching a lot of group fitness, this was a popular way to get people to sign on, right? Because the gym always wants more members. But the problem is that you're sort of assuming that people will keep doing the work. And one of the hallmarks of big box gyms and signing people up for memberships is the assumption that they're not going to come. And you want to build that monthly recurring revenue, right? I mean, look, I know that sounds crass. And I know a lot of people that work in gyms that are very helpful for people. But at the end of the day, people just suck at following up. We need accountability as human beings to get results. And when there's nobody pushing you, okay, to motivate you, when the excitement and the novelty is worn off, then, and it always wears off. Let me just be clear about that. Motivation comes and goes. So a bridge offer makes sense here. So what I have seen work really well for fitness coaches is some type of quarterly program. So maybe they do a 2 to 3 week jumpstart, they move to a 3 month commitment. That's different than committing to a whole year. You want to include some type of way to keep progressing them, okay? Maybe a weekly check-in, maybe a WhatsApp accountability thread. Maybe there's an app that we use a lot with our clients called Voxer. It's a walkie-talkie app. You can do that too. And what's more is you've got a bunch of people kind of in the fight doing it together. So that's what could work really well in that context, to be the bridge offer, that next layer of support that I'm talking about. Here's why it works. The people that do it are not starting over. Instead, they're leveling up. They're recommitting. They're deciding to go to the next level. Okay. They're taking everything they've built in those 2 to 3 weeks and they're putting it inside of a structure that they can actually maintain. And here's what makes this really good for the hybrid model. That membership can actually work for people that are in person as well as online. So you can work it within the same container. So I want you to think about that for a minute. So if you're sitting there thinking, that's great because I'm in person, but I don't know how to do that online, you absolutely could do this online. Same programming, same community, different geography. All of a sudden, you've got a way for people that live in different states to work with you, to sign up with you that aren't local. This is where you have the audiences kind of working together. Okay, that's the ecosystem benefit, right? That's how you build an audience and a following. So that's one example, okay, particularly if you're in the fitness space that I've seen work really well. Example number two, let's say you're a nutrition coach, or maybe you're just considered a holistic wellness coach. Maybe your entry point is some kind of challenge, 5 days, 7 days, even 3 days, right? And maybe you focus on, say, eating. I'm working with a client right now on, and what we're working on creating is the way for her clients to choose their meals, like their 3 to 9 meals that they can just simply rinse and repeat over a 2 to 3 week period. She eventually wants to move these people into either one-on-one training of some type or some kind of group later. But what she really wants is a way to get people in the door, get them started without creating a shit ton more appointments in her calendar if she doesn't really have the capacity or the bandwidth for that. So, and we're calling this like the basic nine, right? The 9 meals, that's 3 breakfasts, 3 lunches, and 3 dinners. And that's a really good effective way to do an entry point. Another thing that can work here is some type of free workshop. A workshop where you not only teach people, but you give them some tools and you show them how to do it and you set up some kind of check-in. You can do this as a free offer. You could even do this as a paid offer. Very low ticket though, because this is a first step for people into your world. People often don't need more information. You know, we live in the information age now, but the problem that most people have is not, it's not that they don't know what to do. They need help executing it. They need help doing it and being successful doing it, right? But information without some kind of structure or integration is just homework that they never turn in, okay? So think about that. That's like doing the study guide and never like following up with it. That's like, you know, doing the course and never taking the quiz that's at the end, right? Like I remember when I was doing a lot of CEUs, when I was trying to keep all of my certifications current, and it seemed like I was doing way more work than what I wanted to do. And so I remember reading through a lot of quizzes and articles and just deciding not to take the quiz on it, right? And maybe it was just because I didn't really like it. I didn't really get a lot out of it. I didn't really think that it was applicable. You know, there were a lot of reasons, but that's the equivalent of that, okay? It's like giving people a shit ton of information and then not taking the quiz at the end, not giving them like the final piece, whatever that is. So, but that's the gap. People know what to do, right? They probably have the right information, okay? But they just can't make it work in their actual life because life is busy, life is loud, habits are hard, it's hard to stick to things when things get really busy and nobody's holding them accountable. So that's really the problem once they do that first step. So a bridge offer in this instance could be like a 30-day container, a 30-day reset of some kind with real accountability. Because if the problem is keeping them consistent and keeping them showing up, the problem then becomes not teaching them more. The problem becomes holding them accountable so they can keep practicing. Don't make it harder than it has to be. Real-time troubleshooting when things don't go as planned. Because things, let's be honest, things never go according to plan, at least most of the time. Now, I'll be honest, there are a lot of times when things in my world go exactly the way that I think, but there are more times when they don't. And that's just a reality. And that's just not me. That's just about everybody I know. So having someone in your corner, not just another curriculum or another chapter or another PDF to read, is what's going to do the trick here. So then the shift here becomes not to give them another challenge, not to teach them the next method or whatever. The shift becomes more contact, okay? So I want you to let that sink in. It's not more content, it's more contact. That's the level of support that changes things, okay? And in this instance, if you're a nutrition or a wellness coach, that would be a really good approach to doing a bridge offer in your business. So you'd want to language on what your promise would be, again, focusing on what they get, not your body of work, not all your expertise. What is it that they get? That's what you need to be talking about. Example number three, I'm going to pivot a little bit more over to the business world here, is for a business coach or a business consultant. So let's say that this person, you know, helps you make more money in your business, which is what a majority of business coaches do. They just have their own way of doing it. An entry point in a business strategy is some type of intensive, right? It could be a 2-hour onboarding, or it could be a half day, or it could be, you know, just an hour session where you go deep on goals and all of that, right? So a strategy intensive or a positioning workshop of some kind, or like I said, a half day where someone gets real clarity on their offer and their messaging and the direction that they're going. So that's your entry point. So I want you to sit with that for a minute. So they finish that. They feel really good. For the first time in a long time, they're very clear. They can see the whole picture. And they walk away having a really good experience with you. So you've gotten them the win, right? Everything that I've talked about when it comes to the entry point. But then they go home and the clarity's there and the to-do list, all the things that they were thinking they would do, just keeps piling up, right? And this is where life starts to happen because, like I said, it always does. And 3 months later, guess what? They're right back where they were. I cannot tell you how many times I have talked with people who have said this has happened. Because clarity without execution support is literally just an expensive aha moment, right? It's just an expensive way to get a win, right? So without having a plan or where to begin or where to go, right? All of that work you did really isn't going to go anywhere for somebody. So this is the problem. So that's the gap, right? That's the gap in between, the big canyon, right? It's not the knowledge, it's the follow through. Very similar to what I just talked about. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is C-E-L-L-E-V-8.com. And use my special promo code, the AllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
So the bridge offer, here's an example of what a bridge offer could look like. A 90-day implementation container. So similar to what I just said, but when I talked about the fitness coaches, is think of it like a quarterly deep dive. Okay, so it's not a membership. It's not a program. Okay, it's a deep dive. It's a quarterly deep dive focused on implementation, focused on putting the pieces into place that you've already worked on with them. So you're not going to want to be teaching them more and explaining more about, you know, posting and emailing and strategy and all of that. It's focus on implementation, on getting the work done, done with you, in other words, with accountability. So in other words, become somebody who, what you want to do in this situation is check their work, give them feedback, redirect them when they fall off course, right? And help them hold the vision when they can't see it themselves. Okay, that is what people usually need after doing some business work, is the accountability to actually do it. I remember the first couple of years that I was in a mastermind, which was incredibly helpful for me. This was the work that we did. We had our strategy time with the mentor, with the gal that was leading it. But our group calls were focused on the implementation, right? And when you're showing up and having to tell people what you're working on, you stay accountable, right? And that's a way that you can create a bridge if you're a business strategist, okay? So the entry point, in other words, gives them the map. They get clear on their program promise, their through line, all of that good stuff, right? The bridge offer becomes the guide who walks with them to get it done. So that's another way that a bridge could look. So here's the last example I'm going to give you, and then I'm going to give you some closing thoughts. This is for those of you that do retreats. Because as you know, we do a lot of retreats here at CU Fitness and the Allison K Agency. You know, I go on retreats a lot. I think it's really important if you're a retreat leader that you do that. Okay, so this one really is close to home for me. So I'm probably going to talk a little bit more in detail. Here's your entry point. What works really well for an entry point, some kind of live event. Okay, this could be a half-day experience. It could be a full retreat even. It could be some place where people actually have to show up. At the end of every year, I do a virtual retreat for all of my clients, and I open it up to the public, and it's a very low entry point. And I do that on purpose because I want to give people a really good mini experience. Okay, so in a way, it's sort of like an entry point for me, but I make it virtual so that I can include a number of people, right? So there's no barriers to entry when it comes to geography. So I do that. That's one of the ways that I create, you know, an entry point into my world, into the work that I do and the retreats that we do. Okay. So there's connection, there's movement and momentum at the end of it. So they leave feeling like they've gotten a win and that they've gotten a result. Genuinely different, in other words, than when they showed up. And then Monday happens. Because remember, if you followed me for any length of time, you know, when it comes to retreats, what do I always talk about? People buy their Monday morning. They don't buy their weekend out of town. They don't buy their 3 to 5 day experience at the beach. They don't buy the private intensive. They don't buy the virtual retreat. They buy who they're showing up as afterward. So when Monday happens, they're back at their desk, laundry's piling up, the emails, all the to-do list. People in their life who didn't go on the retreat really don't know what shifted and how, you know, they can help you be successful. This is really what I see a lot when people go back to their families, is that they're the one that's had the experience, but people around them haven't. Okay. And it makes it really hard because we're creatures of habit and we want to go back to our normal routine because that's just what we're programmed to do. We like structure. We function better in a routine in general as human beings. But it's hard because everything in our life that we left is waiting for us when we get home. It's one of the reasons why, as retreat leaders, we have to be talking about the version of ourselves that's able to show up when we get home and hold the space for the change that we've just experienced. And that's really difficult to do on your own. Okay. So if you think about some type of experience being an entry point, then being able to maintain that is what, you know, is what could be considered a bridge offer. Because I hate to say it, the majority of the time, that's a client experience fail for retreat leaders. And I know that sounds really harsh. That's a lesson I've had to learn too, if I'm being perfectly honest, because slowly what happens is the transformation shifts and people start to compress back down into who they were, into the life that they came from. And look, I say that with all the love in my heart because I've lived it. Okay. I've watched it happen. I've watched it happen to people that have come to my own retreats. I've actually had feedback from people who have shared that with me. So it's been a bit of an eye-opener experience for me too, which is why I feel compelled to talk about it. The bridge offer here, okay, is some type of integration program. 4 to 6 weeks is usually the minimum that you want to look at because people need time to integrate new habits. Okay. They need, and they also need accountability here in the worst kind of way. And it helps if you have a community that stays connected. So coaching, in other words, and support that helps them take what happened for them on the retreat and build a real life with it. Transformation doesn't just live at the retreat. All right. If it does, that's not real transformation. That's a rah-rah, motivated, I feel good moment. I'm going to be all excited. And then I'm going to get home and I'm going to go right back to my life as I know it. And I think a lot of you know what I'm talking about when I say that. And it becomes a really good weekend out of town, but you return home the same because you pick up with where everything was and you become the same person again. So the bridge is, in this instance, is what makes it stick. And in a hybrid model, the post-retreat program serves the people who were in the room and the people in your online community who have watched all this happen. Maybe they've gotten a little FOMO. They've watched that this has happened. All right. And they're ready to go deeper without waiting for the next retreat. So think about that for a minute. You could actually open something like this up to not just people who went on the retreat. Now, the people who went on the retreat are obviously going to have a much deeper transformation, and that's by design. But if you think about it, you could include people in your audience, clients, prospects, people that are considering working with you, maybe people who've worked with you before and are coming back, you know, or you could open it up to everyone in your audience in some way, shape, or form. But it becomes a way to make the results stick. And what's more is that you create a little FOMO and this feeling that people have to be at the next retreat. And that is what helps fill your spots. So that's a really good way to think of a bridge if you're a retreat host or you want to do retreats, or maybe you're thinking about positioning them within your business. So the thing about all of these examples is that, you know, it's great to think about these examples, but at the end of the day, what's going to make people move from one place to another in your business? Because you can build any of these bridge offers and still have people not choose to take the next step. And if that's really happening in your business, it usually boils down to a couple of things. The first is trust. This is really good news because you're not really selling to a cold audience with the bridge offer. Ideally speaking, these are people who've already worked with you. They already know you. They're familiar with you. They know about your body of work. This is someone who's been in your world. Hopefully they've had a win with you. And if they haven't, they've watched other people get wins. They've seen how you think, how you teach, how you show up. So the bridge necessarily isn't a cold sell. It's basically an invitation from you because they already trust you. So if people aren't moving from your entry point to your bridge, ask yourself if your entry point is actually getting them a win. Okay, because once they get the win, that's going to build trust, not just with you, but with them too. Because remember, people are always battling with themselves too. Remember, I talk about this a lot. There are two reasons why people don't buy. They don't see the value. This is where you get questions like, how much, you know, I don't have the money, I don't have the time, whatever. People don't connect the value when they have questions like that. But the second reason, and this is a big one, is they don't think they can get the result. So think about that for a minute. A lot of times when people are skeptical or doubtful, it's nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. So it's really important that we try to get people wins and get them wins early. The small wins even count as much as the big wins. The entry point has to do its job. The second reason is the gap has to be visible to them. In other words, they have to feel like they've gotten the result, but now they really feel like they're not sure that they can keep going by themselves. So most business owners drop the ball here, if I'm being perfectly honest. Okay, they assume that because they got the win, that they're automatically going to know what to do. And the truth is that people really can't see that for themselves. People might be motivated to try it on their own, but inside they're worried, they're doubtful that they can actually do it. And this is where I think you have to come in and position it like it's the logical next step for people. So in most instances, your clients, when they get a win, they know they want more. They can feel it, but they may not be able to figure out for themselves what's missing. Okay. And that's your job. So you want to name the gap, like give it a name, say, now that you've accomplished X, it's time to work on Y. Okay. So you want to really be clear about that. And this is where I think doing a little work on tightening your program promise is really helpful. So what you want to use in your messaging here is, here's why most people get stuck after this. Here's what gets in the way next. So when you name it, people already think that you're speaking to them, okay? And then your bridge offer becomes the obvious answer for them. And then the third reason sometimes why people don't move on is that the offer has to match the moment. So think about it. This is really more about timing, okay? And this is where I think business owners make mistakes more often than where the gap has to be visible. If someone just finished a 5-day challenge with you, they're not ready for 12 months. They're not ready for private coaching, most likely. And they may not be ready still to go on a retreat. Even though in their mind, they might be thinking about it, they may still not be ready. But they're riding the momentum, but they haven't committed to anything next, at least anything long-term. But they could be ready for the next 30 to 90 days. Meet them where they are. I have seen so many business owners lose people because they're too stubborn and entitled to believe that their high ticket program is the best place for people to be. Don't make that mistake. Not in today's world. Buyers are very savvy. They're making decisions different. It is to your advantage to have something thought out where people can go next. So a bridge offer should feel like the natural next step, not a leap off the cliff and hope that it works out. A well-built ecosystem accounts for this. Okay. You have entry points at different levels. You have a bridge that meets people where they are and allows them to keep working. And then high ticket for people who are 100% all in. You never want to convince people, look, you need to go over here next because this is where you're going to get the best result. Don't do that. You're just going to push people away further. Not everyone's ready for every layer at any time. Okay, let me say that again. Not everybody is ready for every layer at the same time. Okay, that is perfectly okay because the ecosystem can hold everybody. All right, so here's why all of this matters now. And I'm going to just give you my closing thoughts here before we wrap up. And that is that your clients are expecting both. They want the flexibility of online, but they want the ability to access you wherever they are. But people also want the depth of in-person because in-person experiences aren't going anywhere. And in my opinion, the business models that are really functioning the best today are addressing both needs. So this is why a bridge offer becomes a powerful tool for you. A bridge offer can also live in either world. That's what makes it so adaptable. Your in-person retreat client can move to an online membership. Your online entry point digital offer could sell somebody into coaching, could sell somebody into your retreat very easily. So without having a bridge, it might seem like you're running two separate businesses. And those two businesses have two audiences. So you're thinking about the online people and the in-person people. The goal is to make it easier, not harder for you. The goal is to merge both. The goal is to be able to serve people in both worlds. So you don't want to double your energy, okay, and end up with half the ecosystem. The idea is to create less work and be efficient about it. So with the bridge, you have one through line, one transformation, but you've got multiple places where people can start. Multiple ways for people to even go deeper. And clients who stay because there's always a clear next step. This is what a hybrid model is supposed to look like. At least the successful ones that work. Not two separate things that are like held together with duct tape and hoping and praying that people will buy and move to the next thing. People can feel your energy as much as you can feel theirs. And if you're hard selling them into something that they're not ready for, they're just going to go to somebody else. And I've seen this happen a lot with other coaches. I've had people share their stories with me that have come to work with me. You absolutely cannot do that as a business owner. All right. So here's something I want you to take away. I know some of you are probably hopefully thinking about what this could look like. So here are just some tips to think about as we wrap up. Number one, start with your best client. Think about the best person to work with you, someone who's finished your entry point and who's how to win, somebody specific. Then ask yourself, what did they just learn or experience? What do they believe now that's possible that they didn't believe before? Okay, and then what's standing in the way of them actually moving and continuing to get more wins? And what level of support is it going to take for them to be able to close that gap? And then, this is the most important step, does your bridge offer, the one that you have now or the one you're thinking about, deliver that kind of support? Or does it just deliver more of the same, but at a different price point? More content isn't always more support. Access is support. Accountability can be support. Community is support. Personalization can be support. These are the things that change how someone can go deeper with you. Okay. And these are the things that your bridge offer should be built around. All right. So I'm going to wrap up. Here's the quick summary. Your business is an ecosystem. Your bridge offer is the connective tissue that holds everything together. It's not built around necessarily what's easy for you to sell. It's built around what your client needs next. Where does the support shift for them? When they start with you, what do they need? What do they need next? And then how are they then the best fits and are best equipped to get results from you in your high ticket or your main offer, whatever that is? The bridge offer is what makes it work. So if you've been sitting on an entry point and a high ticket and you don't have anything in between, hopefully I've given you a lot to think about, okay? And if you want to think about what this looks like for your own business, this is definitely a conversation that we should have. I want you to feel free to reach out to me, drop me a DM on any of my socials, or you can connect with me on my website, www.theallisonk.com, and just hit the connect button and reach out and let's talk about what this could look like. Okay, you can actually find that connect link in the show notes if you just look to the show notes, or just go over to my website and just send me a quick message. We can hop on a call, or maybe we can just email and see, you know, where you are and what you need. Thanks for being here. Thanks for all of your support, for sharing, subscribing, and following us. We really do appreciate it. And share this with another coach or consultant, especially if you know someone in your world who you think this could benefit. And I will see you next week on the podcast, folks. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time. Bye.